What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to Lockdown Universe, home of the bizarre, peculiar, and unheard of stories of UFO, legend, and paranormal lore. Welcome back, happy to be back. Hopefully you guys are doing excellent and taking care of yourselves. Well, we're going to expand your mind a little bit today on the shape of UFOs and what you might think are normal might not actually be normal at all. For example, behind me, I have a screenshot of a humongous UFO. But it actually looks like a building. Here, let me zoom in here for you so you can kind of see it. I'm going to pull up another screen of it as well. But as you can see, there's a gentleman here helping an alien, which looks human, but it actually breathes through its a hole near its sternum. Now, here just happens to look like a building. This is not a building. This is a craft that they flew in on. That looks like it's part of a three-segmented, rectangular, very angular building. Almost like a commercial building for business. So the question is, why would they be flying in a building? Isn't it interesting that I did a podcast about a movie called Parallels, where the building was the craft that was traveling from Earth to different dimensions? This alien species uses a building-like craft. And here, I'll play this little clip from Emery. It actually looks like Emery in this recreation. I wonder if this was him or not. But here, I'll play it, and then I'll show you the zoomed-in version. There's another slide on this that Emery talks about a crashed ship, along with the crashed entities, the biological entities that came down.
Well, here's a craft that went down, and you're going to see, or I have another picture of this craft, but what's interesting with this being is it was breathing from a slit right where your sternum is, okay, right where, not the sternal notch, go all the way down here, right to the bottom, and it had this huge opening, and this human-type being was actually breathing our oxygen. And they were, the medics there were applying different things now. So we don't go and bag and tag them and kill them right now. Everything is a good cleanup crew. They go there, cover up everything first, try to do everything they possibly can to save the creatures by examining what their craft and what their atmospheric conditions are. And that's the first thing to do is, of course, keep them alive just like we do here, our ABCs. And they were actually applying oxygen to this being.
So that's what I think is pretty cool, is that, you know, they show that, and that they're trying to help them. You know, obviously they want to keep them alive, try to interrogate them most likely. But I want to show you this zoomed in version of the craft as well. Hang on 1 second here. Okay, so we got a nice zoomed in shot of this craft. And I want you to see it, because it's really weird. So let's try to put you as close as I can. Here we go. Take a look at this, and he'll talk a little bit about it.
Now, I showed this just because I want to know if any of you guys ever seen a craft like this. This is a crash site. I'm going to jump through it. There are some bodies there. I want you to stop thinking of Hollywood craft, the way you guys hear about it, or even the Air Force craft.
It's a building.
Like the triangles.
But it's a craft.
Step out of that comfort level and open your eyes up to seeing things that just doesn't make sense, because aerodynamics do not fit in play with...
And I always hate interrupting Emery, but look at this. There's like windows like there would be in a building, like an actual business office. And think about what it would take. I mean, look at its size compared to like the mountain behind it. This thing is humongous. And if these are actually rooms, I mean, this is bigger than any hospital. This is humongous. And think about the engine power it would take to power this thing. And I know we're not on the same length, you know, technology-wise as these aliens are, but think about the fact that David Adair, who went down in Area 51, and they told him, hey, we want your help on this. And that it was just an engine that was the size of a city bus. And he said, well, damn, if that's just the engine, think about the craft that it's powering if it's the size of a city bus. And when he walked into it, it was crystals. It was like crystals powering this thing. And it's so funny because I remember being back in the 90s and kids talking about crystals and giving power. And I was like, yeah, you guys are nuts, man. I don't believe in that at all. Well, now I believe in it because apparently they're powering alien ships. And if you watch Breaking Bad, you remember Hank, when he got injured, he got all into crystals and categorizing them and, you know, using them to try to get healed. So they do have power, and we can collect them here. And they do power these ships, and not just these ships, but many other ships. Emery states that a lot of ships have a huge crystalline bar at the bottom that power many different kinds of ships, not just these, but others. So I'll let him finish.
Spacecraft. It doesn't matter what it is, because it's using its own electromagnetic field around it. Oh, well, I'll tell you why. When you come into our dimension, you fall under our dimensional rules. You can be killed and shot, you know. Not everyone is, you know, not all ETs are in a superhero fashion that are bulletproof, you know. They still fall under these laws. So an interdimensional angel being that comes over here has to take the form of one of you guys. And you can trip on the stairs and hurt yourself.
So that's what's interesting is that, like, even if they are like a seventh dimensional being or a fourth dimensional being or a fifth dimensional being, they still have to fall under our laws and the physics within this realm. So that's kind of interesting. I also think that it's interesting, too, because later on he talks about how you can't, in the same vein that you can't think about ships being all aerodynamic and sleek, they can be buildings like this, you also can't think about the size being the end-all be-all of a space. So what he says is, like we all know, some ships you go in and it looks small, but it's like a humongous conference room or like an Amazon warehouse. When you go inside of a small craft, you get on the inside and it's like space and time dilate, or at least space dilates, and it goes into this humongous area. And when some people have come out, a lot of time has passed. And you almost have to wonder if that's what a lot of these alien abductions do, is that they bring them into these ships, the time dilates and time goes faster when they're in the ships. So they might only be working on them maybe a half an hour, but 3 hours has passed on the outside, so they drop them off that fast. You know what I mean? Like, that's something that's interesting to think about, especially since they're like higher beings. They don't need to keep people around for like 3 hours. I mean, have you ever sat at the doctor's office for 3 hours while they draw your blood or something like that? No. You just get your blood drawn, you're out, you know? So that might be what happens. And so he said that, like, you know, even though we think of Earth as being big, it can be shrunk down into like the grain, into a grain of sand, and then expanded again. And he states that that's how a lot of these ET species travel, is through these methods. So they actually go and shrink down, and they can travel, and they can also fold space time and travel as well. Now, these humongous, like, buildings, right? Isn't it interesting that they end up crashing into Earth, that we have so many crashes? I mean, these huge buildings, they took how long to build, and they crash on our crappy little planet? I mean, our planet's beautiful, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, like, in the grand scheme of things, we're not, like, the most intelligent species out there. And they're crashing on our less developed planet. You know, you have to wonder how these humongous ships can crash on our planet. And we had to have developed some sort of technology, or grabbed some sort of technology from crash ships that can transport these huge ships to our bases, or we're covering them up somehow, some way. What's interesting is he also talks about portal technology and how they're able to transport large items from one spot to another. And there's natural portals in Earth's biosphere all around Earth that can transport you from point A to point B. but they look like they're solid objects. So it would be like almost looking like you're going to walk into a rock. And when you do it, it's almost like you noclip, like in a video game, and you just you go outside of the boundaries of the game into another part of the game, and you don't know how you got there. Well, the government knows where these portals are, the naturally occurring ones and the ones that they make, and they use them for their own advantage to transport these humongous ships to wherever they need them to be. Or back in the day, they would cover them up with their own buildings, interestingly enough. So what do you think? Do you think that a ship this big would just crash into Earth? What would cause it to crash into Earth? Well, we did talk about how we have these neutrino light detectors. Emery talked about it. And the gentleman from the Disclosure Project who worked down at the South Pole talked about it. He said these detectors are not just detectors. They're actually weapons that can take down ships. Because as soon as they detect something, it immediately locks in and understands that something came into our atmosphere, and it uses scalar technology to knock it out of the sky. Scalar doesn't have to be a direct line of sight weapon. It can just be a frequency and knock it out of the sky. Amazingly, us primate monkeys figured it out, and we can knock these huge ships out of the sky now. And we get to go play around with mom and dad's awesome technology. Look at how cool my glasses look when the laser reflects off of it. That's badass. So anyway, I would love, who wouldn't love to walk around that image of a ship and just go through the building, go through the craft, room by room, take your time. You could spend a weekend. You could spend a week in there. You could probably spend a month in there, just inside the craft. How big it was, and just go room by room. And then you go to sleep. You wake up again. Then you spend another 8 hours going room to room, taking a look at the different technology, taking a look at the different cafeterias, the different living quarters they must have there, exercise facilities. I'm sure they got extraterrestrial bars on those ships. You gotta have some enjoyment, right? You gotta be able to drink some of the beer that Randy Kramer states that we trade on the Jupiter Mars, the Jupiter moon base. They gotta have all kinds of cool development. They probably have different creatures on board that they've gathered from other planets, kind of like that movie, that Disney movie, Flight of the Navigator, where they had all these different creatures in different containers. Could you imagine walking onto a huge building-sized ship and you go into like one huge like conference room and there's all these different creatures and they're all like in suspended animation in these huge vials of liquid with light reflecting behind them showing you what they are? Like, it would be unbelievable just to see these different creatures that they probably have collected. Or if you just happen to go on the ship and somebody survived on the ship and you're just walking through and then they're like looking at you and you're looking at them and they're like, what the hell are you doing on our ship? They probably run from you because they know that we're a warmongering species. But it would be just 100% fascinating just to see, get into the control room, take a look at their flight systems, their flight navigation. So maybe they have maps, maybe they have historical documents that we could decode and understand. There was a ship that crashed in South America. I did a podcast on where that was the goal of the team that went down there in that podcast, was to grab the data off of the data drives and bring it back. And if they couldn't, they just melt the ship with thermite. They would put thermite on the top of the ship and just melt it there because they weren't going to take it back. I think it was in Peru. They weren't taking it back. So, it's just like really, 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 really fascinating. It would just be mind-bending to have just your own freedom to go through a tour and take a look. And then maybe have a guided tour as well. If we were an open and honest species, we would be doing that. We would totally be doing that. We'd be led by a lovely young lady or a young gentleman who would be guiding us through our tour. And, you know, we'd be drinking our boba infused drinks and sodas, or coffees, and we'd be, eating in the cafeteria of the ship and admiring the ruins and taking photos on our iPhones and our Android phones, and sharing them with our loved ones, paying some sort of admission price, I'm sure, although on a more evolved, spiritually evolved planet, they wouldn't charge admission. It would just be for the eternal knowledge and the continuing education of the citizens of that planet. I hope one day we can get there. I hope you guys are taking care of yourselves. I hope that you raise individuals to fight the system, to keep us in the loop, and to one day break the distrust that we have of the officials, and to peel back one of truth's protective layers, as Neil Armstrong said. Take care of yourselves physically, spiritually, emotionally, your loved ones as well. Follow through on your hobbies and your goals and your dreams. And as always, continue to question the universe around you. Till next time, guys, take care. Lockdown Universe out. Go like, follow, share, subscribe. Peace.